From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, just dreaming, sitting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 27th of June, 2016. Yeah, so we're here and it's cool and we're digging it as usual on Spectrum 360.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks.
Yes, Spectrum 360 associate producer and Spectrum 360 radio program co-host Terry Weeks is on this week's program after a couple week two-week hiatus. She was not on the previous two programs, but she is now, and I'm so glad because she brings so much to this program, adds so much positivity to it. It just improves the program so much when she's on this program that I always love having her co-host the program with me. So I'm very glad she's on the program this week. Spectrum 360 is copyright 2016 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. So just know that. On Spectrum 360, in this edition for Monday, the 27th of June, 2016, the focus of this program is politics and film. In fact, we're going to start with the film pretty early in the program. Segment one, live in studio, a brief news summary from the last week. We'll just briefly talk about the different things that happened over this last week since the last week. Spectrum 360, there's been so much breaking news over the last week. I wanted to take a segment briefly to just briefly discuss what's happened. And then segment two, live and recorded. We're going to play the film preview audio of the new film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things That Climate Can't Change. The new documentary film by Josh Fox. Premiered, debuted, started playing on HBO tonight in the Eastern Time Zone at 9 p.m. It's also starting in the Central Time Zone at 9 p.m., in the Mountain Time Zone at 8 and 10 p.m., and then in the Pacific Time Zone, 9 p.m. as well. So it is playing in the United States right now on HBO. And if you signed up for one of the Josh Fox watch parties, then you can also watch and listen to the live stream video that Josh Fox will be doing to the watch parties. That's my understanding. This is a great new film. Co-host Terry Weeks last week was in Chicago, Illinois, attending the People's Summit conference. And there was a screening of that film at the conference, and she saw that screening. Actually, it was screened twice because there was a technical problem with the first screening. So Terry Weeks has seen this film in its entirety. We're going to talk to her about her impressions about the film. We'll play the film preview audio. And then we'll talk to Terry Weeks in the next segment, too. Segment two, live in studio, is an interview with Terry Weeks about the People's Summit and her experiences there. And this will come a week after we discussed the People's Summit with Amos Mears and Michael Fox on last week's program and had a pretty productive discussion then and had some good summary points from Amos Mears. And Terry will give her perspective this week since she wasn't available for last week's program. And, you know, I'm actually glad that that worked out that way because Terry is a very articulate, intelligent woman. This woman is a lawyer and a nurse. Dig that.
Uh-oh, you must want a favor with all this buttering up.
Take that, men. See if you can do that. All right? So we'll talk to her in that segment. And then, if we've got time, we are going to have some additional audio from Josh Fox and some miscellaneous things that we have not been able to fit on the last few Spectrum 360 programs to round out the program. So that's the program for tonight. A lot of different things, a grab bag, if you will, of different segments. And I'm really going to enjoy this program. I know I will already. So that's cool. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program. And also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com. Scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link. Click on it. Choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. So, let's get this program started, and we'll have a little fun, and we'll get to our first segment in just a moment.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
And now, segment one, the Spectrum 360 news summary from the last week. And co-host Terry Weeks will join me with this. We're going to discuss just briefly the major news events of the last week. We do this occasionally when there's been a lot of news in a particular week, more than we can cover with just segments. We want to do a summary of what happened as well. So that's what we're going to do right now. And last week on Tuesday, which was 21 June 2016, there was a Pinellas County School Board candidate debate forum at the St. Petersburg College at the Allstate campus, sponsored by the local chapter of the NAACP. Spectrum 360 will have still photographs and video of that up in the next few days, so you can see that. It was a great event. The candidates were all good, and there were good questions from the audience. There were good questions from that were prepared by the NAACP, by their board. And it was moderated by Reginald Roundtree, well-known Tampa Bay area television personality and all-around nice guy. He emcees the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. I think it's every year. That's where I originally met him, at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. Very nice man. And you did a great job doing the moderation of the debate. So that was the moderator. We had six school board candidates, and that was a great event. You can see the video in the next few days. Excuse me. At Mark Skogman, just search for my name on Vimeo, and you'll be able to find that video in the next few days. That was a good event. And then the very next day in the evening, what happened? Well, I'll tell you. The U.S. House of Representatives, Democrats, conducted a demonstration, a sit-in demonstration, on the floor of the U.S. Representatives' chamber, and stayed there for approximately 14 hours. Terry, your comments?
Oh, I think it was longer than that. I think it was closer to 23 hours. It was led by Representative John Lewis from Michigan, who has a little experience with civil disobedience, I think. And it was to force a vote from the House on a bill requiring that people on the no-fly list not be allowed to purchase guns. Representative Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, the Republicans don't want to vote on any gun bills, basically. And Representative Ryan shut down the House. They went on recess without a vote. But it was a really wonderful example of the Democrats finally doing something, saying, hey, we've had enough of your games, Republicans, and we're going to do something to take our House back. I hope it continues.
Yes, and let me correct myself. Yeah, that was approximately 23 hours. It started about 11 a.m. On Wednesday and went all night and then into the next day. And I think it was like late morning by the time that they completed that sit-in demonstration. Unprecedented. There's never been a sit-in demonstration like that in the modern history of the U.S. House of Representatives on the floor of the chamber itself. So that was unprecedented.
Representative Tammy Duckworth actually got out of her wheelchair, took off her prosthetic legs, and sat down with her colleagues on the floor of the House chamber. And I believe Senator Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders joined as well.
Yes, there was support from Democrat U.S. senators that came to the chamber as well in support. And then Republican Speaker of the House Paul Ryan from Wisconsin just conducted business right through the demonstration and then adjourned the House of Representatives until after the 4th of July holiday for a break. So the congressional session ended and the sit-in continued. And I monitored that whole situation for most of the 24 hours. It was quite an extraordinary demonstration. I've never seen anything like it. It was led, of course, by John Lewis, who is a congressman from, U.S. congressman from Georgia, and of course an icon of the civil rights movement from the 60s. He was with Martin Luther King and many other leaders of the civil rights movement in Alabama on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma,
where he was beaten within an inch of his life.
Yes, had a concussion, and he thought he was going to die that day. He went out there anyway, but he survived. And he's in his mid-70s now. I believe he's 75. He's the person who started the sit-in on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives. Extraordinary. And then the very next day, as if that wasn't enough news for 1 week, the vote in the United Kingdom on whether to stay in the European Union or not happened. Thursday, we got the events started to come in, or the results started to come in Thursday night, which was actually Friday morning in the UK because of the time difference, time zone difference, of course, GMT plus 5 if you're on the East Coast in the Eastern time zone in the US. And there was, by a few percentage points, the citizens of the UK voted to leave the European Union. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So that happened on Thursday. There's been a lot of reporting on that.
We don't have enough time to give a full analysis of that, certainly, but I just want to say one thing about the Brexit, as we're calling it. A lot of people are framing it as something about racism, about anti-immigration, a bunch of angry old white people who don't like anybody else. I would say don't resist that simple analysis. Certainly, there is an element of that there, but I think there's a lot bigger picture going on that, as it relates to neoliberal capitalism and the concerns of the working class that have been neglected by both the conservative and the liberal elites for a long time. I think it's a lot more complicated than some are casting it right now.
Yes, I'm actually very ambivalent about whether they should have done that or not. There are positive points on both sides. It was interesting to analyze the demographics. Young people overwhelmingly voted to stay in the European Union, and older people, elderly people, voted overwhelmingly to leave the European Union. So there was an age demographic difference in the vote, and then also regional differences. London voted for, Scotland voted for, and I believe Northern Ireland, if I remember right, voted for.
Yes, indeed they did.
And the rest of Britain and Wales and Ireland voted against. So,
no, Ireland actually didn't vote because the Republic of Ireland is not part of Great Britain. They're independent, and they are part of the EU. What's interesting is now that Northern Ireland, which was part of Great Britain, voted to stay in the EU, and now that they are not going to be part of the EU against their will, where there will be a movement finally after centuries, really, for the unification of Ireland, the North and South together? Possibly. Will there be another vote on Scottish independence? Probably.
Yeah, so there are going to be a lot of interesting secondary effects of this vote. And there is open speculation today that this vote won't actually even result in the Britain actually leaving the European Union, that it may, the process may just extend out and then just not actually be completed, or there may be actually another vote to validate the first one of some type. It's not likely, but there are people that are foreseeing that this process, if it does happen, it'll take a long time and may be stopped at some point and reversed. So there was a lot of speculation about that today in some media that I saw. So very interesting situation. Of course, the markets went way down in Europe and the United States, but they are starting to recover now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. So that's what happened. And then, of course, today, excuse me, we had the debut on HBO of the film by Josh Fox, How to Let Go of the World and Love Everything That Climate Can't Change. Say that five times fast. So let's move to segment two, and actually let's discuss that film. And I'm going to play some film preview audio for you of that. And also, we're going to speak to Terry Weeks, who saw it in person last weekend in Chicago at McCormick Place, where the People's Summit Conference was conducted for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What a great event. I wish I had been there. I tried to get there, but couldn't do it. But Terry was able to get there. And let's listen to Josh Fox for approximately 2 minutes. This is the audio of the film preview for the new film, How to Let Go of the World and Love Everything Climate Can't Change.
All I wanted was just to stay here, to stay at home, to be left alone. Can a person stop a wave? Could you stand on the shore and stop a wave from crashing? What are the things that climate change can't destroy? What are those parts of us that are so deep that no storm can take them away?
And you gotta love string quartets. Anyway, that film preview audio doesn't translate as well in audio as it does in video, but I wanted to play that anyway so you could hear Josh Fox's voice. The film did premiere tonight on HBO at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That was the first showing of the film, and it's going to show in successive time zones all the way across the country until it ends with its final screening for tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, or excuse me, Pacific Time in the Pacific Time Zone. It's a great film. I recommend it. I've been trying to see it for weeks, and I started my first viewing of the film tonight at 9 p.m. and watched it until we had to leave for the WTN studios to broadcast this program. So I was able to see approximately the first 1 hour of it, and it is an excellent film. Very serious, but also funny in its own way, with Josh Hawks's particular sense of humor, and I highly recommend it. It's a very, very important film and a very, very important topic, and it really, really emphasized to me the urgency of the climate crisis and just what a crisis it is. We're just a few years away from having even more severe effects on the weather, both nationally and internationally here in this country, because of the effects of climate change. We need to watch this film. We need to stop climate change. And Terry, I want you to start with your impressions of the film. You got to Chicago Friday evening, and I want you to just tell us your experience of how the film played there, what happened with that first screening. There was a technical problem. And then just tell us what your impressions were. Just give us your take on everything that happened there in terms of this film.
Okay, yeah. First of all, I just want to say to everybody, you need to see this film. You really do. It was shown at the People's Summit. We had a several films that were shown on Friday night. Josh Fox's film was one of them, and had a packed house. It was in probably the biggest space they had there at the conference, because so many people wanted to see it. Unfortunately, we only got probably a little over halfway through the film, and there was some technical glitches. So they had to do another showing the next day to see the whole film. And again, everybody showed up. Josh Fox himself was there along with some friends of his. I did get to speak to Josh Fox, who is a really great guy. We hope to have him on the show at some point. The film is very moving. Whether I can even get through this without breaking down myself remains to be seen.
It's okay if you do. That's what this program is for, and welcomes people. I do it occasionally on the air myself, as you know.
Yes, I do. Josh Fox actually said that he cries every time he sees the film. He's like, I made this film, and I still cry whenever I see it. I don't know why that is. Well, why that is because it's very moving. It's kind of about finding hope in the midst of despair. There is no doubt from a climate perspective that we are in deep trouble. And he doesn't make light of that at all. He goes to the places that have already been impacted with climate change, places that suffered after Hurricane Sandy, shows the glaciers melting, talks to Bill McKibben and other experts about what's happening, what is likely going to happen, and likely we're not going to be able to stop, and it's not pretty. And he reaches a point where he is just kind of in some existential despair that I think many of us can relate to. So then he asks the question, well, what do? Do you stay home in the dark and watch cat videos? Or
which he jokes which about he did in for the a while. Film. Yes. The film starts out with him dancing. And Terry Weeks says that Josh Fox and I dance very similarly. We dance in this very geeky, hilarious, I don't care, kind of trying to make you laugh kind of way. And that is one thing I do have in common with Josh Fox.
You both dance like geeks.
Yes. And so there is humor in the film as well, but then he makes these serious points. Terry, continue.
Yeah, so then he says, well, what? So where do you go from here? What can I find that is good, that is deep, that climate can't change? And then he goes out and finds these heroes for the planet, these warriors that are continuing the fight with joy and love and creativity and passion. And give some profiles of some of these people, people down in South America, indigenous people who are fighting to save the Amazon forest and save their water. Tim DeChristopher, who is the person who bought up a bunch of federal land leases to stop drilling and fracking on the land and end up going to prison for that. And Tim DeChristopher said to me, one of the things that resonated the most with me, he said, you know, I was always in despair, and I thought if I kept working, I would get rid of this despair. And I realized that I wasn't going to. He said, I realized that I need to make a place in my life for despair and keep on doing the work. And that really resonated with me.
And yes, and that's the emotional context of this film. Facing reality of climate change and what the potential negative effects are going to be and are already happening. And then,
and yet these amazing people are, you know, the human spirit is still out there with love and creativity and community, you know, doing the work. He had artists in Shanghai, which is the most polluted city in the world, probably. People can't even go outside or open their windows most of the time. The one that really got to me, too, was the Pacific Island Warriors. This was an alliance of Pacific Islanders, and they're feeling climate change right now. Their homes are literally disappearing. Their homes are going underwater. And if anybody cannot be moved by the sight of Pacific warriors chanting, "We are not drowning, we are fighting," and paddling out to stop enormous coal freighters to block the freighters from coming out of the port in Australia in their wooden canoes, they have no heart. These people were amazing. So, you know, that's basically what's going on in the film. In the audience, it was pretty interesting, too. After the film, everybody loved it. Everybody was cheering. And the end of the film, again, Josh Fox is doing his little geeky dance around, and there's music and stuff. Everybody in the audience got up and danced.
Take your time, Terry. This is very emotional for her, and it's getting to be increasingly
it
emotional
is.
For me as well.
I wish I could, I wish I could not talk about, keep my composure a little bit. But everybody in the audience got up and danced. There were a lot of young people, a lot of millennials in the audience, and everyone started chanting, "We are not drowning. We are fighting."
And it makes me cry, too. Because this is, the emotional context, and one of the main messages of this film is, we're at this point where people that are really realizing the reality of these effects are despairing. And it's too late to stop at least some of the effects. We know we're going to be very seriously negatively affected by the climate change in the next few years, starting already. Look what happened with Superstorm Sandy. That was an indication of the beginning of what is happening now. These wildfires in the West, huge wildfires. Severe droughts, warming climate that's allowing insects to move farther and farther north and to eat forests, literally eat the forest. That's what's happening in Western states, in the United States, and other places on the planet as well. So we're in a very serious emergency. I feel very, very sorry for the millennial generation and what you're going to have to face. I've been very responsible, and I've been an environmentalist for over 40 years. I've been trying to stop this from happening to you people and my generation as well, and future generations that are just being born or will be born. We haven't been able to stop it. But I will continue to fight, even though I'm despairing, because you can find hope in despair. And you have to stay positive. That's the only thing that's going to help you do the things that you need to do to stop climate change, is to stay positive. So even though we're despairing, even though we have tears in our eyes and we're being very emotionally moved by this, you have to stay positive no matter what, because it's going to take everybody, it's going to take all of us to stop climate change and make it stop it from being any worse than it's already going to be. We're guaranteed to have disasters already. We've already had disasters. They're going to get worse. But we can stop a lot of it if we act now. We've got a window of about 4 years to really seriously do things that will make a major difference. And the film makes that point. I haven't seen the film past the point where they started to make that point in the film. But I will see it later on tonight when I'm able to finish watching it. And Josh Fox is a great guy. I also recommend his first two films, Gasland 1 and 2, about fracking in the United States, and how fracking was permanently destroying water supplies in groundwater all across the country, Pennsylvania, Texas, many other places as well, in the Marcellus Shale region, in the northeastern region of the United States. So he knows wherewith he speaks, and this is not his first film, but it is a great one, and everyone needs to see this. Terry, any further comments?
And again, it's another thing that Tim DeChristopher said is, despair maybe in placid times weighs you down like an anchor, but in turbulent times, it's a good thing. It grounds you. So yeah, make room for your life in despair, but also rejoice, dance, keep on doing the work.
Yes, I totally agree. So I'm going to play a song here that gives me hope and keeps me positive. And of all people, you got to know it's the Boss. Bruce Springsteen, baby. This is We Take Care of Our Own. That's the boss. That's Bruce Springsteen. That's a song that gives me a lot of hope and a lot of encouragement and keeps me positive when I'm in despair about this country, about climate change, about a lot of things. There is positivity out there. We've got to keep ourselves positive and focus on that. Listen to Bruce Springsteen. It sure helps me. And what I'm going to do is we're going to go to a Jim Hightower commentary, and then we'll be back with Terry Weeks for more about the People's Summit for segment 4, actually, on this week's Spectrum 360. So we'll do that, and we'll come back, and Spectrum 360 will continue with more information and music. But right now, here's Jim Hightower.
Water scarcity is getting scary, and banning long showers is not even a drop in the solution bucket. The biggest water sponge by far is food production, and agri-giants continue to pour it on their vast fields like there's no tomorrow. In a May 31st column, Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times reports that the Pacific Institute and National Geographic have calculated how much water today's industrialized food system sucks up. For example, one little almond takes 1 gallon, a single walnut, 5 gallons, a head of lettuce, 12 gallons, a cluster of grapes, 24 gallons. But wait, America's big oil frackers say not to worry because they can offer a gusher of H2O to food producers. Believe it or not, they're selling their fracking wastewater to agribusiness for irrigating fruit and vegetable crops. This is water that ExxonMobil and other drillers mix with a witch's brew of some 750 toxic chemicals before power blasting it into underground rock formations. The drillers have to reclaim and store this contaminated water, but Eureka, someone shouted. Rather than store it, put it on America's salads. It's perfectly safe, the always trustworthy oil industry tells us, because they treat the water to remove all the cancer-causing nasties. But studies have found toxics remaining in some of the treated water, and a California science panel found that state regulators have no adequate testing process nor any controls in place to stop contamination of crops. This is Jim Hightower saying, fed up, California Assemblyman Mike Gatto has introduced a bill to require warning labels on all state produce that has been irrigated with fracking water. This would empower consumers, rather than big oil, to decide whether fracking chemicals belong in our family's dinner plates. For more information, contact waterdefense.org.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
July 2015, July itself, turns out to be the single hottest month ever recorded on planet Earth. Ta-da. In the history of keeping records of Earth's average temperatures, no month has ever been hotter than this past month. We did it. But remember, global warming is a hoax, easily disproven by the fact that it still sometimes snows in the winter. So pay no attention to the Armageddon lurking in the data.
Lakes tell us everything's all right, and we just go along. How can we fall asleep at night when something's clearly wrong? When we can feed a starving world with what we throw away, but all we serve are empty words.
Yeah.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
Hey everyone, guess who's coming back? It's Mama J Speaks and Mama K coming back on Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. We're going to be here to massage your hearts and minds with gallons of soul laughter. Tune in Thursdays, 8 to 9 p.m. on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And now we're back with segment four, and this is an interview live with my co-host, Spectrum 360 radio program co-host, Terry Weeks, about the People's Summit Conference, which happened last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, in Chicago, Illinois, at McCormick Place, one of the largest convention centers in the world, and actually was the site of the 1968 Democratic National Convention that got so much publicity for all the violence and civil unrest at that convention. Interesting to note that history. So, Terry, tell us more about the conference and your impressions just generally about the conference itself, and give us an in-depth look at what you experienced there at the conference.
Well, there was no violence or civil unrest at our conference. There was a lot of love, a lot of hope, and a lot of community building. I got in a couple days earlier than Michael Fox and Amos did because the conference was sponsored by my union, among others, National Nurses United. And 2 days before the concert, the People's Summit, they held their staff nurses assembly at the same venue Thursday night. And Friday was the staff nurses assembly. And then the People's Summit started on Saturday. There were 1,500 nurses from around the country gathered for the assembly, where they shared stories. We listened to some nurses in California who are trying to unionize the chain of hospitals there. We listened to some nurses in Texas that are planning a strike, some nurses in Minnesota. There's actually a number of large nurses strikes going on around the country. And they center around basically on the same thing, which is safe staffing. Hospitals, by and large, are about their bottom line. So they try to cut costs as much as they can, and often that means not providing enough nurses to staff in such a way that patient care can be safe and high quality. And nurses see themselves as advocates for their patients. They take that very seriously, and so throughout the country, they are advocating for better staffing ratios. These are some amazing women. They are very strong, they are very smart, and they're going to win. California already has safe staffing laws. Nurses can only have four patients at a time. Florida, as you can well imagine, is quite far behind them, as they are in many things, but we are building everywhere. Also had some classes on all kinds of things. We talked about trade, international trade, the TPP, one of our favorite topics on this show. Mostly in how it affects healthcare and pharmaceuticals. I posted some of the slides from that presentation. We talked about economics in general and the economics of inequality and how that affects health. Because really everything, when you come down to it, does affect health. The environment, economic inequality, all of these things impact the lives of our patients, and they're all things that nurses are concerned about. So that was a fantastic couple of days with fellow nurses. The People's Summit then started after that, and I think we added another few thousand people. I think there were at least 3,000 people that gathered for the People's Summit. A lot of millennials there, a lot of young people, which I was delighted to see. My generation, when we were their age, was generally pretty apolitical. But this generation is amazing. I don't know how they got so smart. I don't know how they got their act together to such an extent. When I was in my early 20s, I certainly was not capable of some of the organizing and some of the efforts that these people are making. It's really wonderful. We had plenary sessions with National Nurses United Union President Roseanne DeMauro, who is amazing.
Yeah.
She really is. I think
she
rocks. I think we posted some excerpts from that. It was all live streamed on our Spectrum 360 media site.
And also, that Friday night, the first major session, it was a panel discussion with, get this, Juan Gonzalez, co-host of Democracy Now!,
mm-hmm.
John Nichols, who's a writer. He's the author of the book Dollarocracy. He's also an editor for In These Times and The Nation magazine. Rosario Dawson, who's an actress. She was an actress who played Cesar Chavez's wife in the film Chavez, which is a great film. You should see that as well. And then also Naomi Klein, author of The Shock Doctrine and other excellent, excellent books that
couldn't
we highly recommend.
Much better of a panel than that.
Yes, and then the union president. Just amazing panel, and it was great. All this video, the live stream video, was recorded, and it is on YouTube right now. Do a search on YouTube for People's Summit or The People's Summit, and you'll find it right away, and you can see video from all 3 days of the conference. It's excellent quality and a lot of great content. You'll see Nina Turner on Saturday with this great...
Nina Turner rocked the house.
Speech. Yeah.
She rocked the house. I had no idea she was such an inspirational... speaker. She went out into the crowd. She was just stirring it up. She was fantastic.
Yes, that is true. And we played a long excerpt from her speech on last week's Spectrum 360. You go to the Internet Radio Pros and Spectrum 360. You can hear that speech by her that we broadcast on last week's program, along with the comments on the People's Summit by activists and Bernie Sanders campaign organizers Amos Mears and Michael Fox, who've been on this program frequently in the last few months. That's all there for you to hear on the podcast right now. So that was great.
Now, if you're saying, boy, it sounds like a lot of people's names he's hearing here seems to be associated with the Bernie Sanders campaign, you're right. National Nurses United was the first union to endorse Bernie Sanders. Progressive Democrats of America was also involved. They actually were encouraging Bernie Sanders to run before he even decided to run. People for Bernie. A lot of these people were from the progressive, from the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Yes, that is true. So go online, go to YouTube, do a search for People's Summit, see all the great video. We hope to be broadcasting more excerpts from those videos on coming programs. It was that good. But I do want to move on to the next segment in just a moment, but listen to this quote. Very, very interesting.
For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we are all mortal.
I love that quote because he says, we all breathe the same air.
Yeah, I just want to say real quickly, yeah, love that New England accent. One of the most important things that I took away from the People's Summit was the concept of intersectionality. You know, in the past, we've all been fighting our own fights. Women's movement, they do their thing. The environmentalists fought from the environment. Something that was talked about in every session at the summit was that everybody's fight is our fight. Environmental justice is racial justice, is gender justice. All of these struggles are linked, and we all need to work together.
Income and asset justice as well.
Absolutely. Nobody's free unless all of us are free.
Yes, these are all interconnected. I do definitely want to make that point. Now, I want to go to segment five. And that is comments by the filmmaker Josh Fox at the conference as he introduced the film. Or no, actually, this is from a question and answer session after the second film screening, I believe. And it's a few minutes of questions and answers and comments from the audience and other speakers at the conference as well to give you a flavor of what happened there. I'm going to give you about 5 to 6 to 7 minutes of this before we come back with our last segment. Enjoy. This is Josh Fox and friends at the People's Summit.
The truth is, and we are also offering the possibility of doing this with your community, right? So Jay here's got posters. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, how was that? Everybody, hand for Josh Fox. Yeah! Facing China's imprisonment for climate change. Come on. Who's fired up now to do something about it? Raise your hand. I feel the same way. That's why I've been embarking on a cross-country tour. So if you are going to host your own meetup with Josh on live stream, raise your hand. Wow, amazing. So we have a sign up outside. Please leave us your name and email so we can send you the link, get you everything you need. And also, I'm going to pass these posters around and put them up wherever we can locally. And if you can, if you're not going to put it up, please take a picture of the poster and post it to your Instagram or your Facebook, okay? Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys. You guys are the future. And Washington's not going to save our planet. You people are going to save the planet. I mean, really? Really? Are you going to save the planet or what?
This is a remarkable gathering to be a part of. There's so much cross-pollination going on with our different parts of the movement, and oftentimes we get siloed, you know what I mean? We get siloed in the fracking movement or in the climate movement, and we don't reach out, and Bruce Carter reached out to me, and that's where I met these two wonderful people, and said, come and speak at the Black Men for Bernie rally in Philadelphia about the environment. I said, absolutely, I am so there. So I'm returning the favor tonight with these two amazing folks that I met in Philly to talk Philadelphia. That's right, where we're all going. Some of us will be on the outside. I'm actually a member of the New York Platform Committee, so I'll be on the inside.
All right.
Fighting for a ban on fracking.
Yes.
I won't be able to make as one person inside the convention will be 1,000 times stronger if there are thousands and thousands of people outside the convention demanding that we fight climate change. So on July 24th, there's a thing called the Clean Energy Rally. There's buses and things that you can sign up for. There's a booth with food and water washers that they have over here. The Clean Energy Rally is on 724. Bernie is also going to speak on that day. We may combine the rallies. That's important to you. Well, there's another reason why 724 is important.
It's birthday.
My birthday.
All right.
So you're all invited to my birthday party.
All right.
Those are comments by Josh Fox after the screening of the film How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things That Climate Can't Change. That was at the People's Summit. And for the final segment, I want to see if I can squeeze in. There was a video released by Anonymous approximately on Tuesday, the 24th of May, I believe, on or about that date, regarding Florida Governor Rick Scott. It's rather tough, and I wanted to play that now because I thought it was a very interesting video, and it hasn't gotten very much press attention, but I do want to play it in this program and see what people think about this. This is Anonymous referring to Rick Scott, the governor of Florida.
Hello, citizens of the world. We are Anonymous.
Greetings, citizens of Florida and the world. We are Anonymous and demand impeachment proceedings immediately take place and Governor Rick Scott be forced to resign. War has been declared. The citizens of the world have watched him destroy the great state of Florida's ocean wildlife by allowing the polluted waters from Lake Okeechobee be directly passed into the Gulf of Mexico and Atlantic Ocean. This water could have easily been sent south to the Everglades, but it is his greed for big sugar and the land deals to line his pockets he is more concerned about. Governor Rick Scott's collusion of corruption in the pharmaceutical industry started prior to his stature of being elected as the governor. He was found guilty and fined for Medicaid fraud. He has made a mockery of the judicial system as the entities of Tallahassee's corrupt leaders. Starts with the Florida Bar Association and Judicial Qualifications Commission. The appeals process is rigged with Attorney General Pang Bondi. Governor Rick Scott protects the corrupt politicians in Florida for his own capital gain. He has allowed a criminal justice system to be controlled without due process of law and allowed corruption to rapidly grow at an unstoppable pace. The manifested activities will come to a halt, as Anonymous is now seeking recourse for his unethical and illegal tactics and abuse of power. The residents of Florida and small business owners' livelihood have been jeopardized by his leadership. tourists are seeking elsewhere to plan their vacations. As the rainy season is fast approaching, we direct the polluted waters be redirected into the state capital's front doors and remove Rick Scott as the governor. The residents of Florida and citizens of the world will no longer be the subject of his greed and weakness for his self-worth. Anonymous, we do not forgive, and we do not forget. Expect us.
And that's the audio of a video that was released by Anonymous that was on or about the 24th of May, a Tuesday. And that's regarding Rick Scott and his corruption in the state of Florida. That did not get very much media attention, but it got my attention. And I thought, wow, that is interesting. And I wanted to play into this program. It's been canceled as a segment multiple times because there's been so much breaking news on the last few programs that we've delayed broadcasting that until now. But that is Anonymous and their statement on Rick Scott. It's hard to disagree with a single word of that statement. And Terry, as we come to the final minute of Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 27th of June, 2016, your final comments for this program?
Yeah, I just want to invite everybody to come together and keep this movement, this progressive movement going. I'm going to quote the words of our closing speaker at the People Summit, Jim Hightower, and say, together, you can do it yourself.
That's right. Jim Hightower is so funny. He often says, I was born, but I wasn't born yesterday. And I like to adopt that same attitude when it comes to being fooled by people that lie to us in the government. So come back next week for more Spectrum 360. We'll have another great program for you. Breaking news, information from the People's Summit, and a lot of other things. You know, we cover an awful lot of things on this program, and I want you to stay abreast of everything with us. So come back next week for more Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.